The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Meyer.
Delighted to have you here on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Pardon me. Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday is a time in which you, instead of getting all freaked out and having the cortisol levels rise because you're just irritated about something and you just got to get something off your chest, well, get it off your chest and call 770-5633, 770-KMED. Email Bill at BillMyersShow.com. A couple of headlines that we just mentioned here, and then I'll get a pebble off of my shoe. Well, a listener ended up writing me with a pebble and saying, you know, I'll tell you about this here in just a minute. But I guess all eyes are going to be on the stock market this morning when it opens in about 20 minutes because NVIDIA, you know, the AI chip darling, the one that has been probably goosing more of the stock wealth growth over the last few weeks and just about anything else out there. The shares gyrating early this morning, this according to Wall Street Journal, because a three-session sell-off has wiped out hundreds of billions of dollars. Not a billion or two, hundreds of billions of dollars from its valuation. Bitcoin's back over 60,000 again here too. And Airbus stock plunging. So there's because they're concerned about some profit there. It'll be really interesting to see. I guess the point being is that everybody has been it's in this hunt for yield, and all you had to do is say AI, put AI. You know, this is not all that different. I know it's different. It's not exactly like the way it was in the late 1990s, in which all you had to do is put a .com on something, and all of a sudden, ooh. It's like internet, and then, investors going poke, 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 poke. But now it's like you put AI on it, and, ooh, automatically, everybody is straining. You can see everybody out there trying to find a way to do it. I'm sure the next thing I'm going to have to do on my program is saying, you know, the Bill Myers Show assisted by artificial intelligence, and then the stock price would zoom up, even though here we only use biological intelligence, real intelligence, you know, that sort of thing. All right. Okay. So we have those stories that we'll have to be watching this morning. 750 or so acres on the upper Applegate fire. You got that pretty well lined. I know over the weekend there was some concern because there was no tanker on it there for a while. And I heard some talk that there were some county officials behind the scenes that were squeaking and making some noise. And then magically a tanker ended up appearing. You know, it's one of these things where I know there are good firefighters in this situation, but there, when it comes to federal lands and the public lands, it's kind of like, well, if we have the opportunity to have a natural fire and then have a cleansing fire and let it burn, and so Luke Rudiger can be out there in the Applegate Valley and going, I love the smell of wildfire in the summer. It's the smell of the forest being restored, you know, that kind of nonsense, which has taken hold within the fevered mind of the swamp and the swamp's administrators, you know, that kind of thing. And some people in the county are going, I don't think this is such a good idea. You know, that, remember, we're supposed to be enjoying sustainable tourism all summer. And we have yet to have found a way to monetize wildfire smoke. Hey, come to Southwest Oregon and enjoy our wildfire smoke. And most people outside of here would say, no thanks. yeah, that kind of thing. But it does appear that they're getting a good handle on that so far. Although it is going to be a little hot today, about 96, 97, and breezy. Hopefully that's not going to kick things up too badly. All right. Rogue Valley Times reporting this morning, Jackson County Sheriff's Office launches survey on a new jail. Nate Sickler yesterday says it's time to re-engage the public about the need for a new jail 4 years after a ballot measure on the issue suffered an overwhelming defeat, writes Kevin Opsahl. Sickler spoke to the RV Times just days after his office announced a survey to see if the public supports a new county jail. Jail only has 346 beds. The real capacity is less, as you well know, that kind of thing. And you probably got, 50, 60, 70 of the seats taken up by perverts on permanent wait for a trial, you know, that kind of thing. Might not be that many, but I toured it one time. Not a fun place to go visit, I'll let you know that. But anyway, surveys underway, the sheriff said, and the results will be known in a few weeks and shared with the County Board of Commissioners. Well, I assure you, in fact, you know, Nate, I'm going to get you on the show. We'll have to talk about this a little bit. There's absolutely no doubt that people would be supportive of a new Jackson County jail. They're just not supportive of raising their taxes to pay for it. That's just it. Everybody knows that one of the challenges that we have with the dirt bagginess of Southwest Oregon is you can arrest somebody, but if you don't have a place to stick them, what do? Right? You cut them loose. It's a little bit of a catch and release. And the Jackson County Jail was obsolete probably the day it opened. That's also just a pretty much a fact, just the way it is. And 346 in 1980, county's grown quite a bit since 1980. Yeah, we got some issues here. But you're also looking at a time in which people, I think, are pretty much tapped out. Yeah, we need a new jail. And then I would figure that most people would say, if you put the question as, well, would you like to pay $400 extra a year on your property tax to have a new jail? And then people go, oh, no, I need somebody else to pay it. So there's no doubt there would be a support for a new jail. They would just hope that there's some magic fairy dust that would go out there to pay for it. I think we could take that one to the bank, okay? All right. There's some other interesting stories. I had a listener. Well, actually not a very often listener, but a listener was complaining to me that there was a guy who was complaining when I was making fun of Senator Ron Wyden. Senator Sylvester, that sort of thing. And how somehow they always put lots of S's in Ron Wyden's speeches so that he sounds even more like Sylvester. And he says, why do you make fun of people that you disagree with? Well, first of all, because I can. And it's a lot of fun to make fun of the people who are in power who are promoting absurdities. And Senator Sylvester doth it quite often. And Merkley, too. You know, both of our senators. But it comes right down to it is most of the members of the Democratic Party richly deserve it. They richly deserve being held up to ridicule. Democrats have had no trouble ridiculing Republicans for a long time, and sometimes Republicans deserve to be ridiculed. Heck, a lot of times I do it. In fact, I could swear I spend more of my time trying to, hoist these go-along, get-along, agenda-promoting Republicans, you know, the ones that are hanging out with the Iversons over in the state legislature, and, hey, how can we get in on the grift, you know? Yeah, I spend more time criticizing them because it's like, okay, I know that the Democrats are corrupt. I don't want corrupt Republicans or compromised Republicans. You're silly me. Silly me. So, yeah, I spend a lot of time criticizing Republicans, too. But back to the guy who was complaining, why do you always make fun of the people that that you disagree with? Why do you, call them names and things? Because it works. They need to be. Sometimes ridicule is an excellent thing to do. I was reading an article over at issuesandinsights.com that kind of brought it home. And it's like, yep. This is why I make fun of the people who so deserve it, all right? Armando Simon writes in issuesandinsights.com. It's a great website, Issues and Insights. Time to admit it, Democrats are the party of sexual perverts. He's right. And he writes this 3-4-page article. I'm just going to touch it. He actually lines it out. The various stuff that we have going on. He talks about Democrats being the party of sexual perverts. In other words, quit trying to talk about it as inclusiveness or diversity or equity. It's just perversion. And he has a list of some of the stuff here. And it's an interesting laundry list. So I'm just going to go through a little bit of it because he makes the case of, quit just talking about these people as that, well, they're just like you and me, but they just have a different way of looking at the world. Yeah, that sort of thing. In Arizona, Democrat state senators hosted a drag story hour for kids and adults inside the state house. In Kentucky, a Democrat senator opposed a bill banning child sex toys and referred to pedophiles as minor attracted persons. And the lefties always like to use these euphemisms to promote the ideas. And yeah, unfortunately, Republicans a lot of times fall for that trick. Oh, we got to reach across the aisle. They just think about us a little differently. They're just like us. No, they're not. In Kansas City, Missouri, a Democrat mayor, along with other Democrat officials, had a national reading day, not books like Tom Sawyer or Treasure Island. The books they were reading were written to brainwash the kids, to explore their gender identity. Their gender identity. It's more of those euphemisms, right? And encourage the kids to go trans. I'm sure we've done stuff like that here in Oregon, too, for that matter. New York Democrat Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, rather, praised a drag queen wandering around in the halls of Congress. Staff members of a Democrat senator from Delaware founding having sex in the Judiciary Committee hearing room. Of course, it's gay sex, of course, right? Speaking of Democrats from Delaware, we have pseudo-President Joe Biden. His daughter's diary revealed that they used a shower together. That's one way to bond. We don't even have to mention the crackhead son, right? In Michigan, a Democratic government staffer expressed being aroused by the sexy satanic statue erected at the Michigan State Capitol. In New York, a Democratic senator who helped pass a bill targeting Donald Trump on accusation of rape was himself accused of rape. In a symbolic slap to parents, a Democratic Fairfax County school board member was sworn into office not on the Bible, but on a stack of pro-homosexual books. Nothing wrong here, right? You know, everyone's just like us. In New York, Erie County Democratic Party chairman was sentenced for having sex relations with a 9-year-old. In California, Democrats blocked a bill that would make child trafficking a more serious felony than it is presently. In Maryland, a Democrat mayor caught with child porn and distributed thereof. In Wisconsin, Democratic judge found distributing child pornography. And then there are the Democrat officials in the judiciary that release child rapists out into the street, especially if they're illegal aliens, nor can they be deported. Democrat Chasen Buttigieg, husband of Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, shown in a video having children recite the Pledge of Allegiance to the Pride flag. So there we go. That's just, there's a lot more. There's a lot more of these sort of things. Oh, by the way, oh, here's one. Even Oregon is mentioned. In Oregon, Democrats have made it legal for pedophiles to expose themselves to little children. And you're thinking to yourself, why, that couldn't be. Yes, yes, it is. It's sort of a backdoor way. That story actually happened a couple of weeks ago. A TikToker claiming that a naked person came up to his 2-year-old son. This was in Bend, Oregon, by the way, and exposed himself. However, the cops said that no crime had been committed. And this exchange went viral, right? And so the TikToker, you know, the dad says, you're telling me in the state of Oregon, someone can walk up to your 2-year-old completely bare naked and it's not even a crime, even if it's on your property. And the cop says, yes, well, it is trespassing. But what I'm saying is that there's no laws against the actual nudity portion of it, he added, to which the TikToker interjected, so you can expose yourself to the kids in Oregon. And the officer then paused, you know, was thinking about this and says, well, if you're not doing it for sexual gratification or the gratification of somebody else, then yes, you are allowed to walk around in the public naked. This is what the cop in Bend, Oregon ended up explaining. And technically, he is right, because you know, even the nudity, let me see if I can find a little bit of that, law. It is true that the ORSs, which state public indecency, which includes indecent exposure, is a Class A misdemeanor, but it says it's defined as exposing yourself in view of a public space with the intent of arousing sexual desire. Now, some would argue that if you're walking around in public naked in front of little kids, it can only be for sexual purposes, you know, that kind of thing. But once again, remember, you know, reach across the aisle, keep reaching across the aisle, Republicans in the state legislature, because the Democrat Party, which ends up passing such laws along with some Republican votes because they figure, well, I have to go to Salem to pass Democrat legislation. They're just like me. They just look, they're just a little different. But other than that, we all agree on the same things. Yeah, I'm being a little sarcastic on that. Okay. But on that note, this is the Bill Myers Show, 624. And yes, that's the answer to the listener who wrote and said, why are you making fun of all these people who you disagree with? Because they deserve it. Actually, they deserve worse. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Life's busy and off is not an option. You need to be on the water, on the call, on the road. Life's waiting. Power on. with Batteries Plus. Visit one of over 700 locations today. Hardcastle Trailers, where
the customers came. Looking for a safe place to store your RV, trailer, or boat? Hardcastle's offers a secure storage lot located conveniently on site with a keypad entry. With spots filling up quickly, stop by today to reserve yours. While you're there, check out the fully stocked line of enclosed, dump, flatbed, and utility trailers. Hardcastle's friendly and experienced staff are always available to help you find what you need. Open weekdays 8:30 to 5, Saturdays 9 to 3. Hardcastle's, where the customer is king. Stay updated on recreational opportunities all over our region with the Outdoor Report every Friday morning just past 7 a.m. on the Bill Meyer Show. The Outdoor Report on KMED and KCMD is powered by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, your department of adventure off Byless Road on Airway Drive.
For years now, people have been switching their wireless service to Pure Talk to save money. Just $20 a month, you get unlimited talk and text and tons of data. But more people are switching to Pure Talk, a veteran-owned company, to support the America's Warrior Partnership and their mission to help prevent veteran suicide. To make the switch, dial #250, say the keyword save now, and you'll be connected to Pure Talk's U.S. customer service team. Make the switch, same service, save money, help vets, #250, keyword save now.
Hi, I'm Lisa with Pacific Survey Supply, and I'm on KMED and KCMD.
626, we appreciate you being here. 770-5633. It is a Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. So I got that pebble in my shoe out of there with a guy asking, why do you make fun of Democrats? And why do you say disparaging things about them? And it's like, well, you just look at the record. You look at what has been done with the power. And you see the idiotic, just the absolute idiotic economic sense that tends to come out of most so-called Democrats and or they like to call themselves progressives. You know, this kind of thing. Here's an example. Reverend David writes me, Bill, it's so disgusting reading about all the iconic restaurants closing. And then you get to the end of this article. It's a Gateway Pundit article in which California's $20 minimum wage forced the San Francisco McDonald's to close because they couldn't afford to work it. Our country really is turning into Venezuela North. And so, yes, these people need to be held up for derision. Derision and criticism. They richly deserve it because what they push does not work. Does not work. It's kind of like when you go to the grocery store and you see eco detergent. Eco is like a little thing translated meaning doesn't clean. Eco detergent doesn't clean. Eco Democrats doesn't work. You know, you could just say that. You can almost put that in anything. And speaking of these, we're going to raise everybody's wage and everything's going to be okay. It just doesn't work. Yeah, people will get more money, and then the restaurants and the jobs go away, and they close, right? We're talking about in California. They were doing this, trying to help out the Uber and DoorDash drivers, you know, all the ones that deliver on the apps the other day. I was reading about this, and New York City moved to increase the wages of these app-based restaurant delivery people, okay? And so in Seattle, they put a $4.99 fee, almost $5, on every order on these app-based services, whether it's Uber Eats or DoorDash, whatever. And then what happened immediately is that the orders fell by half. Orders went down 50%. And the poor drivers that the progressives were trying to help ended up, losing it. They lost their jobs. You know, and they continue to do this. They get higher wages, and now they're out of work. Boy, I sure am glad I got that raise from the city council. You'd have a $20 burrito that would cost $40 by the time it got delivered in Seattle. That's what they were talking about. Yes, I know, but these are just these Democrats are just regular people, just supposed to reach across the aisle. It's all right. They're just like you and me. Okay, so there we go. Some pebbles in my shoe. I'll just go to your pebble in the shoes before Congressman Cliff Bentz comes up, and then he's going to unload, I'm sure. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
Hey, Gene.
Hi, Gene. What do you want?
I've got two ideas.
Okay.
One for Jackson County Jail. Tell Biden you need it, and he'll pay for it.
To what now?
Let Biden pay for it. He's paying for everything. That whole side of taxpayer money.
Well, I think all we have to do, this is what we do. we just renamed the Jackson County Jail the Ukraine County Jail, and the Biden administration will give us all the money needed to defend that and put it in place. Okay? How do you think?
That's another good idea. And as for the perverts,
yeah,
that guy, he's on his own property. What's wrong with playing golf?
Playing golf. I get it. Yeah, you make me laugh always, all right? Let me go to line three. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Welcome. Hello?
Hi, Bill. I guess it's me, huh?
It is you. Hi.
All right. This is Father David La Barbera.
Hello, David.
Hey, you just read my email, and what you missed on that was that old Jellyhead gave his contributor buddy, the CEO of Panera, an exemption.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. I did skip over that part, and you did say that. You did say that. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't have to pay the $20 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, well, you know that you're in the end times when it comes of a republic, when essentially everybody is just working the system for individual rackets to help them out during that time. And we're really there. We're there writ large, oh, aren't we?
Oh, we are. We're so close. We're so close I'm thinking about putting on my cassock and standing on the Rogue River Bridge, the caveman bridge there with a big sign that said, prepare to meet the Antichrist. So,
well, I don't know. I can't help but think I honestly, and I know you may think I'm crazy when I say this, but I think we've been electing Antichrists for quite some time.
But the Apostle John said there are many Antichrists right now. So anybody who's against what God is for is the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. So, and then there's another thing that hit me the other day. I was listening to somebody talk, and he made the comment. They were talking about these people who are Jew haters, and they hate the Jews because they killed Christ. And this man said, well, how can they condemn these people who Christ forgave? Remember, he was on the cross, and he said, forgive them. They know not what they do. So Christ forgave the Jews for killing him. He forgave the Romans for killing him. We all killed him. He forgave all of us for killing him. So this crap with the Jew haters and the people standing out in front of Jewish synagogues and beating up the Jews, this is really bad for America. This is really, really bad.
Agreed there, Father. And I appreciate you checking in there. By the way, what did you think about what is his name? Vigano? How do you pronounce his name?
Yeah, Vigano.
Vigano.
Vigano. I think his name is really pronounced Vigano, but
because I was reading that he was supposed to be put on trial by the Vatican.
He made a statement. He is not going to go and stand before that trial, before the dicastery, because he doesn't recognize them. He doesn't recognize their authority. This guy is the ultimate rebel. I mean, he's. I hope he brings this pope down, because this pope is ruining the Roman See.
No, in other words, Vigano wants to make Catholics Catholics again. From what it looks
exactly.
Like. All right, I love it. I appreciate the call there. Thank you, David. Thank you, Reverend David. Let me go to Dave. Hello, Dave. Give me your pebble in the shoe. Go ahead. Fire away.
Yeah. Well, you know. They got the Lakeview Road closed here, so I called a couple of attorneys, and just to even get a meeting with the attorney, they wanted $350 for an hour.
Uh-huh.
And, well, actually, if they were to take the case, I'd have to give them $5,000.
Yeah, that's about right.
A retainer.
And $5,000 retainer, that's pretty cheap, actually. They're getting you off cheap. They're giving you the poor guys. They're giving you a poor guy price right now.
Yeah, well, the problem is there's nobody out here with $5,000 to hire them.
You ever get the impression that maybe that was the whole idea, as they blow the dams up and then make it a challenge for the people to stay there?
Well, because they closed the road, and KRRC and Kennywick Construction closed the road. They knew that the people that actually live in here there's people that own property here, but they've moved out.
Yeah. You know what you might think about doing, Dave? In all seriousness, try an online money-raising thing like a give, send, go, you know, that kind of thing, and see what they say. And people might be willing to help you for some little, you know, to try to open up roads for public safety, and then maybe you can, you know, get some money back on that, okay? Give it a shot, all right? It's a 6:35. Congressman Cliff Betz, he should be joining us here in a few minutes. I'm sure he'll be cheerful with a lot of things to talk about, too. Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. The Upper Applegate fire burning southwest of Medford has now grown to 756 acres. It's 46% contained. Crews have now plumbed approximately 80% of the fire, including direct and indirect lines. More than 430 people are assigned to the fire that's threatening 25 single residences and 30 multiple residences. While unionized workers at the Medford Providence Hospital are back at work, they're still no closer to an agreement with Providence. They're calling in a federal mediator. Mediation is expected to happen after July 10th. Three Oregon advocacy groups are launching a ballot measure campaign to enshrine the right to abortion, transgender health care, and same-gender marriage in the Oregon Constitution. Basic Rights Oregon, the American Civil Liberties Union, and Planned Parenthood notified the State Elections Division Monday of their plan to start collecting signatures to get the proposed measure on the 2026 November ballot. I'm Bill London, KMED News.
When the IRS comes knocking, the news can be shocking. Tell them you've hired a CPA tax expert at First Response Resolution, located in Eagle Point. Leave speaking with the IRS to Zach. He'll defend your rights as a taxpayer. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com today for a free consultation.
It's a great time to travel, and Phoenix Auto Center invites you to stop by before you hit the road. Jolene here, reminding you that taking care of your vehicle to keep you driving safely is what we do. We install top brand name tires for exceptional performance and handling, and we provide full service auto and RV repair too. You can count on us for tune-ups, brakes, shocks, alignments, cooling systems, vehicle manufacturer maintenance, and more. Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros, serving Rogue Valley drivers since 1970.
106.3 KMED, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
It is 6:37, joining us live from the swamp. And I hear it's pretty rainy, hot, and steamy this time of year here. Congressman Cliff Betz, welcome back to the show. Good to have you on. Welcome.
Yeah, it's great to be back, and it's actually going to get up to 99 today. I don't think there's a drop of rain anywhere around. I wish there was.
Boy, 99 in D.C. this time of year. That's real heat, isn't it? No doubt.
It is real heat, and it's been that way for the last couple, 3 days. And no fun at all, Bill.
Yeah, you ought to come back here to Southwest Oregon. It'll be 97, but it's like 10% humidity. It's all right. It works out okay.
Oh, boy.
All right. Boy. Hey, well, Congressman, let's kick into a few things of what are going on. You had to fly back to D.C. today because it's going to be a vote time. What is the top legislation that we need to know about that I guess the vote's going to be going on tonight? What's happening?
So I'm pretty sure I haven't gone over the list of things that we'll be voting on tonight with my staff, so I don't really know just yet. And they're still going to be on the floor going through those bills. Almost for sure it'll be things like naming post offices or the like, because that's what you vote on, suspensions on the fly-in day. You don't do anything exciting. You do something basically to try to get it out of the road for later in the week, because your suspensions, that is things that everybody agrees upon, naming a post office, for example, you have to get those moved across the floor somehow. And so the fly-in day is usually used for that purpose. I haven't checked to see what post offices we're naming this afternoon, so apologize for that.
Okay, I'm just kind of curious. Do you ever get something a little crazy, like someone wants to name a post office like Che Guevara Post Office or something? You ever get that happening?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think that's quite what happens. What I've seen happen on some of these where I haven't voted for the name change is that they'll be naming it after somebody that you really didn't agree with politically, and you don't think that they deserve a post office. So you just say, no, I'm not going to vote to name the post office after whoever it might be. Okay. And so that's happened in the past. Recently, it's been fairly unanimous on these post offices.
Is there any unanimity over in Congress, speaking of the post office, on I know that the postmaster has been holding back on this this rebuilding or reorganization of the post office, but it seems to have been causing a lot of stress and strain in the delivery of mail here in Southwest Oregon, especially, you know, the sending it to Portland and having it come back. Is that something that constituents have been getting hot and bothered about? or has that been going to other people?
No. We've been seriously involved in trying to prevent the consolidation of mail delivery to points far distant of Medford and Grants Pass and southwestern Oregon. For that matter, other parts of my district. And so that consolidation process results in significant delays, and in fact, meaningful delays if you're relying upon the Postal Service to get you medication, or if you have a small business and you use the Postal Service for delivery purposes. So it's a great big deal. We've been notified by of course the folks that work at the post office, because that would mean a reduction in the number of jobs. We've been supported by other people who have large rural areas like I do, in trying to head this off. So I was just going through some of my materials over the last couple of days, because I got back here early, and that issue is still front and center.
Okay, very good. A lot of people have been writing me about the vote on NDAA and the funding, also a lot of money going to these foreign conflicts, and also concerns about, I guess it is that you did vote for NDAA, and then there was the registering women for selective service in there. And what was the thinking for Republicans supporting NDAA, including your vote on that? A lot of money for foreign conflicts there.
Right. So let's talk about the woman registration issue first. It's not in the House bill. It's in the Senate bill.
Oh, it's in the Senate bill.
Yeah, none of we House Republicans voted for women being registered for the draft.
Okay, so it was reported in kind of a vague situation. People said, well, Congress did this, and so you're thinking, oh, it must have come out of Congress then, out of the House. All right. So is this then something that has to be agreed then? So there's the Senate version of it, and then there's going to be an argument about that. Is the House going to strip this out, or how does this operate at this point? Or is it something that we should have?
Well, there's a few questions.
I'm not throwing you a lot of questions here, but you know, a lot of questions, little time. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'll go fast. So I think the exact procedural status of it in the Senate is that the issue of adding women to the registration for the draft is still being debated. I know that Senator Hawley is adamantly opposed to it. Schumer, I think, is supportive of it. There are other Democrats, however, who are opposed to it. So I think it's still being debated. If it is in the Senate version of the NDAA, then the matter goes to conference and the issue becomes one of many that would then be debated and finally resolved in the conference of the folks, our speaker and Schumer and the ranking members get together in a room and they hash it out with their staff. And there's, as you can imagine, all kinds of differences. Those conferences can take forever. Eventually, the bill comes out in one big I hate to say mess, but a big combined thing. And our speaker comes in and says, well, this is what I was able to get done, because he, of course, he's basically one third of the battle at the table. Now, exactly what's going to happen, because the president, believe it or not, the White House is at that table. So you have, because ultimately, if you don't want to get something all done and then have the president veto it. So the White House is in play in those kinds of conference discussions. So that's how it really works. And how that would come out, I can't tell you. I'm going to guess that most of us Republicans would say no.
Okay.
Registering women for reasons having – and the reason I say I guess is because I'm sure there's differences of opinion regarding it. What it comes down to is a matter of national security, and you turn to the people who are in charge of that and say, are we the better or worse having women – register for the draft.
Okay, all right. So this is still a work in progress then, all right? We haven't got to the final side of this. Congressman Bentz, back to the NDAA, just hundreds of billions of dollars. You know, it's a huge bill. You know, we all know about this, and hundreds of several hundred billion, more than $100 billion going to foreign conflict. And given a very common question that gets asked is, how can you send money? How can a vote send money to these countries when we still essentially have such a crisis on our own border and we don't feel like enforcing our own? Couldn't that have been held hostage to getting some kind of real border plan going? What would you say to that?
Well, let's focus on the NDAA first. The NDAA came in about between 40 and 60 billion less than the chair of the Republican chair of our Armed Services Committee wanted. Mm-hmm. And he came to several of our caucuses and went through exactly that, saying, look, if I had my druthers, we would have another 40 to 60 billion. And there was no discussion really about the amount of money going overseas. The focus instead was on making sure we got an increase in pay to our junior service enlisted members. Our bill includes a 19.5% pay raise. Bill, those people are being paid nothing. It's no wonder nobody wants to join the military. It's a joke. It's a miracle that we have people willing to serve in our military. It truly is. And thank goodness we have people willing to step up and help defend our country.
Yeah, I know the Biden administration is not in favor of that pay raise, from what I understand. But so there wasn't concern about sending money overseas, the money to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. No concern about that. It really wasn't.
Keep in mind that was a separate bill. That's not the NDAA.
Okay.
The bill you are talking about was a bill that was passed 3 months ago, I believe now, or two. And it contained four different elements, which I think you and I discussed in a previous show. But there was money for Taiwan, money for Ukraine, money for Israel, and then a series of other expenses that were. I think TikTok was in that bill. It was a pretty involved bill. But that is not the NDAA. The NDAA is focused on keeping our military going and sharp. And the reason that our chair was so unhappy with the size of the bill is because we're not keeping up with China. We're not keeping up. And China's Navy is getting bigger than ours. Their Air Force is getting better. All of their systems, drones, and other things are getting better. We are not keeping up. But there's a huge number of us who want to try to limit our spending, and we put a lid in on our spending, and we agreed to live by it, and he did too. But he was very clear in saying, guys, we're spending about 40 to 60 billion less than we should be. And so I'll just tell you, Bill, this is a very, very, very serious. And I'm sure there is waste in this bill. But on the other hand, we've got to have our military people supported, and we need to have the means of protecting ourselves. If ever there was a moment where we need to be cognizant of the dangers we're facing, it's right now when it comes to military force.
Would you agree or disagree that we appear to be almost poking the Russian bear at this point for conflict, or would you disagree with that? I mean, there are differences of opinion. I hear it talked about both ways from numerous places.
Well, let's see. The Russian bear is busy attacking and killing hundreds of thousands of people right now. The Russian bear decided to rush into Ukraine and try to crush hundreds of thousands of
people. But they would say it's very sad, but there's conflict around the world all the time. And that is not the United States.
Wait a minute, Bill. One-third of our trade, one-third of our entire GDP is based on international trade. Our biggest trading partner is Europe, our biggest trading partner. So when someone says that we're not involved in Europe, they are ignoring our GDP, one-third of it.
No, I'm not saying we're not involved in trade. I wasn't saying that, but I'm saying once again, Ukraine is not the United States. That's all people will be saying. And
Ukraine is the edge of Europe, the edge that's being hammered by the Russian bear, with no regard to borders or sovereignty or anything else. And so the question becomes, do we stand by and watch, just as people did back in pre-World War II days, as Hitler took things over, or do we actually help Europe defend itself? And I voted to help Europe defend itself so we don't have to send our American boys over into Poland and Hungary and other NATO countries when the bear decides, hey, this was pretty easy. Let's keep going. Now that we've got our entire economy focused on nothing but war. And so the challenge for us, of course, is to try to make sure Europe is doing its part. And I will tell you that Europe is stepping up. Trump did a great job in calling them out and saying you need to be spending at least 2% of your GDP on military, and they are starting to do that. They are realizing all of a sudden that the USA is not necessarily going to be there. So they're stepping up, and they're realizing it's an existential issue for them.
All right. Congressman Cliff Betz, I wanted to focus on something that Brad Bennington and I were talking about on yesterday's show, and this is something that maybe Congress can make a difference on. I don't know if you can or not, but this is the power grab that the VA and the USDA have done in their loan programs, in which they put some really super high energy efficiency requirements on it. And it could make a so-called affordable house cost $31,000 more if they're financed with these things. And what is the status of that? Is there something that Congress can weigh in on, or is it still, once again, the administrative state running amok? What do you think?
Yeah, you said it. It said two things exactly right. One, the so-called affordable house. I like that phrase because I'm not sure any house is affordable anymore. But the running amok of the regulatory state is exactly right. I have a chart here in front of me from the National Association of Home Builders showing that the regulatory cost before the $31,000 added by this new regulation is $93,870 per new home. $93,000 in regulatory costs, and then we add another $31,000 by virtue of this new USDA ridiculous energy efficiency argument. It's crazy, Bill, and it's you know, I'm so happy you asked. We brought an effort led by Warren Davidson to try to reverse this, and I'm on that bill, and we'll see what happens with it.
Okay. It's going to have to get the votes here. Now, you're also working the Columbia River issue here, and I want to make sure people understand what's been going on here when it comes to the Green New Deal being put in place up there that the Biden administration is trying to do. And then your idea to try to keep their hands off the Columbia. Could you kind of give us the latest on that, please?
So the latest, thank you so much for asking, but the president has appointed a task force just in the last couple of days. Nobody is on the task force that we would want on the task force to advance the historic commitment to restore wild salmon and other native fish to the Columbia River Basin. The idea, frankly, is to get rid of all of the dams on the Columbia, not just the four Snake River dams. And the way they're doing it is by coming in and saying, you know, these dams are horrible for fish, and therefore we shouldn't have them, and we need to come in to whoever used to rely upon those fish and help them out and perhaps buy energy facilities like solar farms for them. And then have them, those tribes, for example, sell that power to Bonneville Power.
But you and I both know that that hydroelectric power is good, steady base load. It is a requirement for the grid to have steady base load power on it, right? This would be very dangerous, wouldn't it?
Oh, it was horribly. The 3.5 million people in the Northwest, including you and me and everybody else that are reliant upon that power, should be rising up in absolute anger and saying, this is wrong, President Biden. This is crazy, President Biden. This is insane, President Biden, because the value of those dams with all of the billions of dollars we spent to make fish passage work on them is immeasurable. And if you look at what they're doing, they are ignoring the changes in the ocean that are damaging fish runs. They're ignoring the fishing that's going on by Russia and China off our coast. They are ignoring sea lion depredations. They are ignoring the warmer temperatures and the sewage effluents that are pumped into the waters off of Washington State, for example. They're ignoring all these things and instead focusing on the dams because they find that politically attractive.
Well, it's politically attractive. It's almost a religious fervor, you know, the deindustrialization of the Northwest. Do you think that they have the political soup behind them in order to accomplish that? And I know that when you talk about taking the dams out, we'll still hear from the Greens that, oh, this is just a conspiracy theory until you hear about these kind of stories. It's like, no, they're talking about it quite openly here, Congressman.
Well, no, quite openly. It's I have in front of me the press release talking about their efforts to restore salmon in blocked habitats in the upper basin. But what that really means is let's take the dams out. And what that really means is all the ratepayers get to pay three times as much for the power. I mean, this is real, and the fact that it's happening is an incredibly sad commentary on the Biden administration, but I guess predictable.
So this is a political problem, is what you're telling me at this point.
It's absolutely a political problem. But what should be happening is people listening should be sending emails to Senator Wyden and to Senator Merkley and saying, you guys need to weigh in with the president and tell him to stop. This is ridiculous. Why would you be driving up people's power rates? Why would you do it? I mean, the farmers in the Klamath already went through this because of the lack of, loss of the of the power generated by those dams. And it's, why would we do this? Why are you said it, deindustrialization of the Northwest.
Congressman, what else should we be keeping an eye on here over the next few weeks, maybe, in Congress? Because I'm told on one hand, maybe nothing really big gets done this year because it is so close to election season. I mean, we are in election season right now. How do you see this over the next few months? Are we just doing small things overall, or is there any big things coming?
Yeah, I think you've hit it. I want to mention, I've been to the border now five times, and most recently to Tucson to try to help Juan Sisakamanti, a great new Republican freshman from Arizona, in some of his discussions with local community members. What most people are doing, including me, is focusing on issues that are of serious impact in different districts. Lori Cervantes-Streamer, for example, is doing great work here in Washington, D.C. She's going to be running against an extremely liberal Janelle Bynum up in the Clackamas area. She, Lori, now represents part of my district, Bend and Redmond area. And what we'll be doing is holding my little water committee. We'll be holding a hearing up in the Redmond area in October so we can highlight what Lori's been doing and what we all need to do when it comes to protecting the water and the forests in and around Central Oregon, not to mention Southern Oregon. But these kinds of things are what happened in between now and November. And you try to coordinate your focus on the types of things that people are super interested in and should be as the election approaches. We also, you asked what else will we be doing. The farm bill is still on the table, and I anticipate that the farm bill is going to encounter a lot of difficulties when it gets over to the Senate, and I think the White House has been making various threats regarding the content of that bill, and so we're busy trying to figure out exactly how we're going to try to still prompt action on the border. And again, is
this probably something that will most likely have to wait, honestly, for hopefully a Trump administration, because you just need you need more juice, right?
It's been said. 50 or 60 or 1,000 times, as you just said it, that we need to have President Trump. And then at that point, we can move forward in securing the border.
Because a Biden administration, no matter what, you can come up with the best bill in the world, let's say, on border security. He won't sign it unless you can overcome the override vetoes. You're dead, right? It doesn't matter.
That's absolutely right. But also, we would never have the support of the Senate. And so we hope we will flip the Senate. It looks very, very positive. We hope we'll maintain our power in the House. It looks very, very positive. And we hope that President Trump gets reelected. And if that happens, then all of a sudden we can try to coordinate a repair of the mess that the Biden administration has made.
So I guess at this point, it's really almost as I was talking with Rick Manning over at Americans for Limited Government. He was saying he's been kind of pushing, and it sounds like this is the time then to you plan for how to govern in 2025, really, because you're probably not going to be able to get much anything huge through this year, honestly, because of the election cycle.
So if you look back at the struggles that we've had, they've been significant since we moved into the majority. And I, by the way, as I've mentioned to you before, Bill, it's the first time in my life I've been in the majority.
Yeah.
And
it's not a huge majority, let's be honest, right? It's just the way it is.
I would say it's a fairly modest majority. I think at one point 2 weeks ago, it was one down to one person in excess of the number we needed to pass anything. It's very, very difficult to get 222 people, which is how many Republicans we almost have, going in the same direction. And when you need 218 to pass something, that gives you, four people that can disagree. I'll just guarantee you, it's almost always more than four people disagreeing. And so it's been very hard to get things done, even in our own caucus, our own Republican conference. But once we do, then there's a small matter of getting it through the Senate and getting it through the president or across the president's desk. Very difficult to do much. I mean, this government was set up this way for a reason, so that everybody had a shot. And in situations where it's so balanced, not much happens.
All right. Congressman, we appreciate the update, and you are welcome back anytime. And, happy voting for tonight, although it doesn't sound like it's big ball, but we'll stay in touch. And you say that's something going on. You always have an ear here. Okay? Thank you.
Bill, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for taking the time.
All right.
Yeah.
My pleasure. Congressman Cliff Bentz, it is a minute after 7. This is KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford. KBXG Grants Pass at 99.3 FM.
Hi, this is Dwayne Barkley, owner at American Rancher Garage, a full-service auto repair shop. We get numerous questions that begin with, hey, do you work on? So to put it simply, if it's between your license plates, we probably work on that. Call, stop by, or text us through our website at AmericanRancher.com. Stop by Biddle Road, right across the street from Elmer's, or call us at 541-499-6673. American Rancher Garage, we are united through service.
All aboard!
The Oregon Coast Scenic Railroad is your opportunity to ride behind the living history of a historic locomotive engine along the beautiful Oregon coast. Book either the coastal excursion for the whole family or take that special someone on the romantic moonlight excursion that includes appetizers and refreshments. Secure your seats with the Oregon Coast Scenic Railroad now at OregonCoastScenic.org.
Don't miss Colin Muckery and Brad Sherwood Asking for Trouble, June 30th at Brit in Jacksonville. An evening of side-splitting laughter as the dynamic duo from TV's Whose Line Is It Anyway take the stage in their one-night-only live show. With lightning-fast wit, Muckery and Sherwood transform the audience's suggestions into an unpredictable evening of nonstop comedy gold. Sponsored in part by Pacific Power and KMED. Get tickets at the Brit box office. Call 541-773-6077 or visit BritFest.org.
It's heating up outside. Hi, this is Lisa from Kelly's Automotive Service in Grants Pass in Medford. And now is the time to check your air conditioning and cabin air filters. A clogged filter can affect the performance of your air conditioning, and you want your family breathing the freshest air possible. As summer goes on, suppliers start charging more for Freon, so now is a great time to get in. Call us for an appointment today. You can find us online at kellysautomotive.com. Kelly's Automotive Service, where we service your vehicle, but take care of you.
If your garage or overhead shop door needs service or repair, please consider American Industrial Door. They have experienced and professional technicians with a fleet of trucks that can repair and service any door or opener. And if you need advice or just have a question about your door, just give them a call or stop by either showroom. They've been your garage door experts in Southern Oregon for nearly 40 years. American Industrial Door on Crater Lake Avenue, north of Vilas Road, and on Union Avenue in Grants Pass.
3 minutes after 7, we'll check town hall news here in just a moment. Ken writes, hey, Bill, just ask Cliff Bentz why he's... Cliff Bentz is a bumbling idiot answering softball questions. Come on, man. Ask him why he is not defunding Jack Smith and Merrick Garland. Putin doesn't want war with NATO. He's a war rhino. All right. Here is the... Ken, do you really understand how stuff gets paid for in Congress? With all due respect, no one congressman all of a sudden just says, you know, I don't like what Jack Smith and Merrick Garland are doing, so I'm just going to defund them. You get a couple hundred of them that all agree, and go in there and defund and you'd go for a debate, and then you pass that budget, and then you can get it passed through the Senate. Then you make it happen. You got to understand how this works. One Congress critter doesn't defund an office. A couple hundred or more can possibly do it. But once again, you ever try to get 211, 218, 220 people to agree on much of anything? This is the challenge that you run into right now. And sometimes it's a little difficult to understand how some of this works. Even I was a bit confused thinking that the Ukraine funding was all part of NDAA. And he was right. He corrected me on that being the separate bill. It's still, a bad deal in my opinion. But, they're all full war ahead in Washington, D.C. from the sounds of it, Ken. What can I tell you? Okay.
News.